beginning last week and continuing this week and next week, we have 3 weeks where we read from St. John's Gospel these beautiful stories that speak to us so much in the drama of the story. Last week we had the woman of the well. This week we have this famous story of the man born blind. Next week we'll hear of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. These stories are so powerful because they speak to us of the essence of the Christian life. We get these stories every 3 years during the A cycle of our Sunday readings. But in fact, we can actually use them every year in connection with our catechumens who are preparing for baptism. Because the woman at the well, the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus all speak in a special way to preparation for the enlightenment of baptism. But in truth, all of us during Lent are called to enter into this period of purification and enlightenment. That's what this time is called for the catechumens, but really for all of us. It's a time of purification and enlightenment. As we look at the reading today, we see this man born blind. And of course, Jesus is using this as an example that it's not just physical blindness that he wants to speak about, but a much larger kind of even spiritual blindness. As I read the reading today, I'd like to focus on 3 different aspects of blindness and enlightenment. The first kind of blindness, which ultimately affects all of us, is the blindness that perhaps I would call a moral blindness, the blindness of sin. You see, when we get into sin, it's as if we're living in darkness. Society says, do this, this will make you happy. And we believe, and so we fall into sin. And all of a sudden it becomes very hard to see the right way to live. All around we have these false messages that seem to take away the clarity and light that we need and instead leave us immersed in darkness. Our sin prevents us from seeing Jesus, who is the light. That's why St. Paul tells us so beautifully in our second reading. He says, everything that is hidden in darkness, the shame of sin, he says, it needs to be brought to light. You've got to expose it to the light so that it can be healed. So the first and necessary beginning of enlightenment has to be bringing our sin to light, being free from this moral blindness. And of course, the way that we do that is through confession. We bring our sins from the darkness into the light of confession. And it's not easy. Just as someone who's been in the darkness for a long time, when they first start to step into the bright light, it can be almost painful. It takes a little while for the eyes to adjust. It's been wonderful during this Lent. As you know, each Wednesday, we've added extra confessions in every parish in the Archdiocese to especially invite home people who have maybe been away for a long time. And each week that we've heard confessions on Wednesdays, I've been amazed at the people who have been away for a long time, who are coming back, who are ready to come out of the darkness into the light. It takes great courage to do that. But that's part of what this Lent is about, purification, to bring our sin to light, to allow Jesus to heal us. But there's a second kind of blindness, I think, that we all experience, and that is what I would call an intellectual blindness. How well do we really know our faith? Do we really know the truths of our faith? Do we see the beauty of our Catholic faith? You know, the other day I had a person who had kind of fallen away from the practice of the faith and had decided, you know what, I've had it, I'm going to leave. I don't want to be Catholic anymore. And I just questioned him that before he did that, do you really know what you're leaving? And he thought about it. He's like, you're right. Before I leave, I want to be sure that I know that I'm doing the right thing, that I know what I'm leaving. So he began to study, started to come to some classes, started to learn more about his faith. And you could just see him grow. And eventually he came back and said, I had no idea our faith was so beautiful. Now I see. It's like he was blind, I think a lot of us are blind to the real beauty of our faith. Do we make the effort to come to a class, to maybe just start to read the scriptures a little bit on our own? The Holy Spirit works through that and can open our eyes to see the beauty of our faith. You know, this man born blind that we read about in the gospel, he didn't just come to know Jesus immediately all of a sudden. It took that adjustment to the light. When they first asked him, well, who did this? Well, it was a man. It was a man named Jesus. And then they ask him later, well, who did this? And he's like, well, he's a prophet. And finally, Jesus comes and says, the Son of Man wants to know, to be known by you. He's like, well, who is he that I may know him? It's like, it's me. And it says that then he worshiped him. We see that just in this short time, this man's intellect has been enlightened. It's not just the physical blindness that he's been cured of, but now the intellectual, the spiritual blindness has been healed. And he sees clearly who Jesus is. All of us need to have that experience, this Lent and always, that purification that leads to enlightenment, that we might see and know Jesus clearly. But after we do that, I think there's a third kind of blindness that we suffer from. And I might call this kind of a blindness of charity. Because after we have experienced the light of Jesus, we've got to be able to then see Jesus in other people. Are we perhaps in many ways blind to Jesus in the people around us? Do we see Jesus in our world, in creation, but especially in the poor, in the vulnerable, in that difficult person? Are we blind to Jesus as we encounter him in everyday life? You know, last month we had a speaker here, Steve Angrisano. He's a great songwriter and storyteller, and he spoke to our whole parish, and he told a story about a friend of his. It's a true story. And his friend went to spend a few weeks with Mother Teresa's order in Calcutta, the Missionaries of Charity. And this person really wanted to see Mother Teresa, but as it happened, she wasn't there. But he decided he would stay and work. And then he was surprised when Mother Teresa actually showed up. And Mother Teresa said to him, I need your help. He's like, well, you don't say no to Mother Teresa. She needed him to go and get this man who was dying under an overpass of a bridge. They went and they could tell that they were coming because the smell was just overwhelming of the rotting flesh. And they found this little Indian man just curled up about to die under this bridge. Mother Teresa said, pick him up. And the man said he was very reluctant, but he picked him up and they brought him back to the house of the Missionaries of Charity. Mother Teresa then told him, bathe him. And the man was just repulsed by this person who was in front of him that barely seemed like a person even. So he filled the bathtub, and he just over and over he said he had to fill the bathtub, and it just got filthy, and he had to drain it again, and the smell was just awful, and it just, he couldn't hardly stand to be in the room with this man. But eventually his heart started to open a little bit, and he thought, this man is going to die any moment, and I don't want his last memory on earth to be of me not even willing to touch him. So he began to then get over his fear, and he started to be able to lift the man up, to caress, to heal and dress his wounds, to really care for him. And then Steve, as he told the story, said his friend told him that as he looked down and he saw the face of the man, right before his eyes, his face changed and he saw the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, not like some kind of vision or hallucination, but I really saw the face of Jesus. And he was just astounded. And his face flushed and he didn't know what to do. And Mother Teresa came back and stood in the doorway. And he looked at her with his face just in shock. And Mother Teresa looked at him and smiled and said, well, you saw him, didn't you? You saw him. And the man, as he talked to the other sisters, realized that many of them had had this same experience where they actually saw the face of Jesus in the people they were caring for. He had been blind, He couldn't see Jesus and this dying man. But then all became clear and he could see. Do we have this kind of blindness of charity where we don't see Jesus plain in front of our face in the poor, the abandoned, those most in need? We pray that this Lent, Jesus might remove that blindness as well. That after we're purified of our sins, brought to the light of confession, and we are enlightened with the love of Jesus, where we see him clearly, that we might then see him in our brothers and sisters, that we might reach out with love. If we do that, we will arrive at Easter joyfully able to proclaim that indeed we were blind, but now we see.